Again, looking at the miracles of Christ, and spend our time in introduction. We want to continue that in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That's true of the Gospel of John. They're not all written in the Gospel of John. It's true of the whole New Testament. But these are written. That is, what is written is enough that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. John 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they could be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all give personal account of the miracles of Christ. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they give their own personal perspective concerning Christ. And as we saw last week, what one emphasizes, another doesn't. And because each writer had a different purpose for writing, each writer was painting a different picture of Jesus Christ. So each one, just as it is today, if there's witnesses of anything, there are things that one person notices that another person doesn't notice. There's one thing one person focuses in on, and perhaps somebody else focuses in on something else. And you put them all together, and you have an accurate account of what happened. They're not contradictions. It just gives us a full picture. And this is what we see in the Gospels. We see a full picture. Now again, none of the Gospel writers record all the miracles that are recorded. Some are, as we saw last week, are exclusive to Matthew. Some are exclusive to Mark. Some are exclusive to Luke. Some are exclusive to John. And, of course, not all the miracles that Christ performed are recorded. Again, John 21, 25 says that if that were the case, there would not be enough books in the world to hold what Jesus did during his earthly ministry. So we saw last week that miracles are directly attributed to Jesus Christ. We also saw they basically fall under four categories. There are the miracles over nature, which shows his sovereignty. All the miracles show his sovereignty. There are the miracles of healing, which most of the miracles that are recorded are miracles of healing. There are miracles over demonic forces, that is, Jesus casting out demons, and some of those miracles, of course, as a result, people were healed of whatever infirmity that the demon was causing. And then, of course, there are miracles of resurrection, that is, Jesus Christ gives life. And that brings us to some of the facets of Christ's miracles. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and also the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. But in Acts, chapter 2, we'll read verse 22. And in Hebrews, we'll read chapter 2, verse 4. Acts 2, verse 22 says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by..."
This is how he was approved of God, accredited by God, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Notice those words, miracles, wonders, and signs. Those are the different facets of Christ's miracles. We see the same thing, different order, in Hebrews 2, verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. If we go back to Acts 2, verse 22, consider these three things: miracles, wonders, signs. Again, they show us a different facet. Each one accentuates a different facet of the work of Christ. The word miracles speaks really of the cause of the work. All miracles, of course, are supernatural. The cause of the work, in other words, the power by which the work is done. We see in Hebrews 2 in verse 4 that they are divers miracles. That is, they are miracles of various types. Again, there are miracles over nature. There are over demonic forces, over disease, and there are resurrection miracles. There are miracles of divers types, and they all require the power of God. They are all the display. They are all the manifestation of the power of Christ. Therefore, they are referred to as mighty works. That is, works done by might, works done by power, works done by his might, works done by his power. Again, they are mighty works. Notice in, keep a mark there in Acts, in Mark chapter 6, verse 14. Mark 6, verse 14, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Mighty works. That's referring to the miracles of Christ. We see the term used again in Luke chapter 10 and verse 13. So, these mighty works, these miracles of Christ, though the power to perform them goes beyond natural power, they were natural for Christ. These mighty works were natural for Christ, and they were easy for Christ. No miracle was difficult for Christ. They were all done naturally, and they were all done very, very easily. Notice regarding this in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, we have the miracle of Jesus healing the man of the palsy. You remember that four of his friends or relatives had carried this man to the house where Jesus was. Jesus has healed him. Jesus has forgiven him of his sins. And immediately in verse 8, we see that the people begin to reason in their hearts. And then in verse 9, notice what Jesus asks them. He says, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? They were perplexed when he said, thy sins be forgiven thee, because their response was, only God can forgive sins. Jesus says, I do both with ease. Which is easier? I mean, for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or for me to say, take up thy bed and walk? They're both easy to Christ. He's saying, I do one just as easily as the other. They are the mighty works of God. But at the same time, they are done with ease. He speaks a word, and it's done. He simply touches someone, and it's done. Very, very easy. There's nothing difficult about the miracles. There's nothing difficult with God. Notice in the book of Luke chapter 11, Jesus again speaking of his miracles, and he uses a metaphor here to show how easy he does, how easily he does these things. In verse 20, he's talking about casting out demons, and he says, If I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. The finger of God. Very easily done. And that's why he uses this metaphor, is to show that his miracles are natural to Christ and his miracles are easily accomplished. And I think sometimes we, as God's people, lose sight of how easy it is for God. It was easy for God to create. How difficult is it to say, let there be light? Boom, there it is. Very easy for God. And we sometimes measure God by our difficulties. But we need to realize that it's all easy for God. There's no difficulty in all the miracles of Christ. As we look at these miracles, keep in mind that they're all the mighty works of God. Keep in mind that he did them naturally and with great ease. No difficulty whatsoever. The next word that we see there in Acts 2 verse 22 is the word wonders. And that accentuates the remarkableness of the miracles, the marvel and awe of his miracles. It caused people to wonder. We see in many places in the Gospels, and we'll look at a few, where people were just amazed at what Christ did. They were mighty works. They were wonders. Notice in Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. They were astonished at his teaching, but notice, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They were astonished at what he said. They were astonished at what he did. This is the wonder of his miracles. Notice in chapter 15, verse 31. Insomuch that the multitudes wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. They wondered. That is, they were amazed. And as a result, they glorified the God of Israel. Mark chapter 2. Again, we see the miracle of healing the man of the palsy. But notice in verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. They were all amazed. The wonders. Again, this accentuates the awe of the miracles of Christ. Notice in Mark chapter 4, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This, of course, is referring to the apostles. And they were amazed when they considered how the wind and the sea obeyed Christ. And I'm afraid sometimes we lose the wonder of what the Lord does. Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verse 25. He said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. So we have miracles, the mighty works of God. We have the wonders, which accentuates the amazement of the work. And then the next word there in Acts 2:22 is signs, which accentuates the proof. The miracles of Christ prove something. The miracles of Christ reveal something. By the miracles of Christ, truth is conveyed. Now in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, it is declared that these miracles, these wonders, these signs were supernatural. Notice it says, which God did by him. Which God did. That's supernatural. Which God did by him. Not only are they supernatural, but they are visible, they are known, and they are undeniable. He goes on to say, in the midst of you, they were visible. They were also known and undeniable, as ye yourselves also know. The miracles of Christ caused great wonder. The miracles of Christ were signs. They revealed something about Christ. They revealed something about God. So we want to look at the design of Christ's miracles. Everything God does, he does on purpose. And everything he does with a purpose, and he has an objective in view. And every miracle that Jesus Christ performed was on purpose and with a purpose and had an objective in view. Again, I love the miracles of Christ. I preach from them probably more than anything else. To me, you can read one miracle every single day and you'll see something else every single time that you read it. But the miracles, look at, consider the design of these miracles. Why did Christ do these miracles? What was the purpose behind them? One of them, of course, was for God to endorse both the person and the mission of Christ. Every miracle that God did by him, Acts 2:22, was God saying, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Now this is made clear again in Acts 2 verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How did this take place? By miracles, wonders, and signs. The miracles show that he was approved of God. That is, that he was certified to be the Messiah. Every single miracle said, I am the Messiah. I am the one sent by God. Every miracle testified of that. And that was one of the purposes of the miracles. Notice in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verses 20 through verse 22. And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist is in prison. Send some of his disciples to Christ. And they ask him, are you the Messiah? Or should we be looking for another? Verse 21, in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering the question, are you the Messiah, or do we look for another? Again, it was John the Baptist who sent these disciples to ask this question. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen. What did they see? What we read in verse 21. You tell John the things that ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor, the gospel is preached. He is saying, I am he. I am he. And as witness, here are these miracles. Notice in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 2. John chapter 3. Verse 2. The same, speaking of Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, sent by God. And how do we know this? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know. And the reason they knew again were these miracles. John chapter 5, verse 36. Jesus speaking says, I have greater witness than that of John. Speaking of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The very works that I do bear witness that the Father hath sent me. Notice in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 24 and verse 25. Then came Jesus round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness. They bear witness of me. Verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. So one of the designs of the miracles of Christ were to show that he was sent of God, and to show who he was. Hebrews 2 verse 4, we see another design of the miracles was God beareth witness by miracles, signs, and wonders. God bore witness. God bore witness of himself. He not only bore witness of Christ, he bore witness of God himself. So the miracles were the attestation of God. Every single one of them revealed God. Also, they were given to promote strength and faith. We saw this in John chapter 10, verse 38. Notice again in John 14, verse 11. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So they were given to promote and to strengthen faith. And how many times when Jesus did miracles, he rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith. And how many times he commended the faith. The Syrophoenician woman would be one example of those who were the recipients of these miracles. So miracles are to promote and strengthen faith. And that's true even of you and I. As we read the miracles, we see Christ is revealed. We see God is revealed. And we see that the miracles of Christ ought to promote and to strengthen our faith. We need to put ourselves in the place of every one of those miracles. And we see it promotes faith. We see also the miracles portray the insufficiency of man. And it portrays the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Every one of the miracles, we are reminded that without Him we can do nothing. In every one of the miracles, we are reminded of our own insufficiency. And we are reminded of the sufficiency that is in Christ. We are reminded of the salvation that is in Christ. I believe all the healing miracles and all the miracles of casting out demons and certainly all the miracles of resurrection, they are all types of salvation. Every single one of them is a picture of salvation. Again, we're not saying that those who were the recipients of these miracles were necessarily saved when the miracle took place. What we are saying is that they are all portraits of salvation. They are all a picture of what takes place in salvation. So we need to consider all of these things as we consider the miracles of Christ. And then, in closing, remember that the miracles of Christ, every miracle He performed and every miracle that is recorded brought personal responsibility and brought personal accountability. Every single one of them. Notice in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, verse 20. Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. And then you can read on down there. We've run out of time. But what He's saying is the miracles made them responsible. The miracles made them accountable. And He rebukes them for not repenting and not believing. And every time you and I read of a miracle of Christ, every time we hear of one read to us from the gospel, we are now responsible. We are now accountable. It's like everything else in the Word of God. Every time you read it, every time you hear it, you now have to do something with it that makes you responsible, that makes you accountable. So as we look at the miracles of Christ, every single one of them makes us responsible to God. Every single one of them makes us accountable, answerable to the Lord. And these miracles are so full of instruction. We could spend months on each one, but we're not going to do that. We're not even going to look at each one. But we want to see the pictures that are drawn in these miracles and what we can learn about Christ, what we can learn about ourselves. Let's look to the Lord. A word of prayer.